Happy last day of the working week, everybody. It's Thursday, March the 28th. And on this day, 20 years ago, Māori television was launched. I hope everyone there is planning for a huge 21st, because it is, after all, a Kiwi rite of passage. Kia ora, this is Newsable. I'm Imogen, and this is what's worth talking about. Is AI the future of executing the perfect rugby line-out or football corner kick? A former Kiwi athlete believes it could be. Former billionaire crypto wonder kid Sam Bank Bankman-Fried is staring down a potential 100-year prison sentence. So how did we get here? New Zealand's domestic b-ball league has started, and this season they're shaking a couple of things up, plus the funny item that got mistaken for a sick animal and was taken to a wildlife hospital. All that's coming up in a moment here on Newsable.
Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.
Artificial intelligence is popping up in our day-to-day life left, right and centre, and now it has entered the sporting arena. Research has just been published in the Journal of Nature Communications by the developer of AI technology that helps successful strategies in football, and we're talking soccer here. A system called Tactic AI, which when you see it written down, it looks like tactical, very smart from them, has been used to recommend how best to deal with corner kicks in order to score. And in a survey, experts from Liverpool FC favoured these AI recommendations over their own existing tactics. But it does beg the question, is this all fair? Or is it another progression in sport? With us now to unwrap all these issues is Dr. Teo Sushniak, a senior lecturer in computer science and information technology at Massey University, who also earlier has represented New Zealand in tennis at the Davis Cup. So he comes with sport and AI combined in one. Dr. Teo, hello.
Hello, Imogen. Thank you for having me.
How fair do you think the use of AI is in sport?
Well, I think it's unavoidable. At this stage, it's one of those progressions that we just need to accept. There is no going back. This technology is entering all areas of our existence. It's a difficult one to answer whether or not it's fair or not, because I think it's just going to proliferate everywhere very, very quickly.
While we can't ignore it, sure, is using AI in the spirit of sport?
I don't see why not. You know, we have experts, you know, expert physicians, trainers that optimize training routines and so forth. And these AI systems, they're just another form of experts. Mm. I don't see why we shouldn't leverage and take advantage of.
How on earth does AI recommend tactics that then get translated into action? Like, how can it tell that a player could actually kick this way or not?
One thing we need to remember is that machines are very, very good at doing certain things, and it shouldn't surprise us that they're able to find patterns. All machines, when they're combined with the right algorithm, the question is, are these patterns useful? Do they correlate with reality? Or are the machines just simply hallucinating, which is what they do sometimes?
And what sports do you think could viably use this, like rugby, league, footy?
So any sport that has a set piece. So for example, think of rugby, which has got lineups, scrums. I'm thinking of cricket as well. Any sport which has a pause where the team is able to stop for a particular routine, where the coaches are able to have some input in terms of tactical setups, is where you can apply this. The only thing that you need is you need lots of data, historical data from previous plays that you can analyze and convert into data sets. And then you can just apply it to different sport.
Do you think there would need to be some sort of vigilance in sport over the use of AI, as like we see with doping, for example? Should we see its use take off in this industry?
I don't see any ethical issues with leveraging data and smart algorithms and people who know how to put those two things together in order to be able to do something better. I don't think that there is a cheating component involved in this, like there would be with doping, but certainly does bring up questions of resources. Not every team, not every association is necessarily going to have access to experts who know how to use these algorithms. Of course, it brings up questions of fairness a little bit, but I think we're all just flying into this area and there's just no putting the genie back in a bottle.
There's not at all, is there? Teo Sozhniak, senior lecturer at Massey University, who has also represented New Zealand in tennis. Thank you very much for your, I guess, insight there. That was really fascinating. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Remember to stay across all things newsable even after you've listened to the podcast. Make sure you're following NZ Stuff on Instagram and TikTok. And as always, of course, we would love to hear from you, whatever it is you have to say. So do flick us an email if you'd like, newsable@stuff.co.nz. There is a massive sentencing due to be handed down in New York today to a man by the name of Sam Bankman-Fried. SBF, as he's otherwise known, is the former billionaire wonder kid behind the failed and fraudulent crypto business FTX, who is now staring down the possibility of more than 100 years in prison after it turned out he and his colleagues were using customers' money for themselves, resulting in an $8 billion shortfall. You know, big numbers, and that's a lot of years. Blake Montgomery is The Guardian US's tech editor and is with us now to talk all about this. Blake, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Can you remind us really quickly as to why we're here and talking about this?
Totally. Sam Bankman-Fried was the founder and CEO of FTX, at its peak, one of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchanges, and certainly the most famous American in cryptocurrency. He had celebrity endorsements. He had million-dollar properties in the Bahamas, where he operated the exchange from. He was in front of the U.S. Congress lobbying for certain types of regulation. He was the face of crypto for a very long time.
And how did this all come crashing down?
In 2022, the cryptocurrency news outlet CoinDesk reported that FTX had used quite a lot of its own cryptocurrency, something called FTT, as collateral for a lot of loans. And that is a sort of a complicated way of saying it made up some money. And after that was revealed, a lot of other crypto companies said, we're going to sell this. We don't think it's worth anything if they're using it to prop up a lot of loans that they made, investments, et cetera. And after people sold that, then FTX customers said, we're not so sure about keeping our money in this exchange. We're going to take it out. And that is a very, very old-fashioned thing called bank run. Mm-hmm. And FTX did not have enough money to give all its customers back their money.
Who lost in all of this? Was it the customers?
Yeah, FTX had millions of customers and they lost billions and billions of dollars. Wow. Collectively. And they still haven't gotten it back. FTX has not started paying out customers in its bankruptcy proceedings, which are complicated and contentious and worth billions of dollars and not settled yet by any means.
Who? What has Sam Bankman-Fried had to say throughout this entire process? I mean, he's due for sentencing, right? So he's been found guilty, but what's he had to say?
Yeah, he has been found super guilty of seven, like so
he's
guilty.
He's the guiltiest.
Yeah, it's like it is seven charges of wire fraud and conspiracy to launder money. The jury verdict came through in under 4 hours.
Wow.
And was unanimous. To your point, he maintained his innocence on the stand. He testified on behalf of himself, disastrously, it must be said. And throughout the whole thing, he said, I'm innocent. I didn't commit fraud. Even in these bankruptcy filings, which is where the like kind of drama is playing out right now, he said FTX still has all the money that it had. It always had the money enough to make customers whole, which is like a phrase of give them back all their money. And the CEO of FTX now, the guy who's overseeing the bankruptcy proceedings, said that is not true. He's living a life of delusion, was the quote from the court filing. It's a pretty like dramatic and direct way to refer to a former CEO, like someone that for a long time people thought was a finance genius.
I mentioned 100 years is on the table. What do you think we could end up seeing him getting handed?
I don't think he'll get 100 years in prison. Prosecutors have asked for 40 to 50 years, which seems much more likely. Hmm. He has not expressed contrition. He's not said, I'm sorry, I'm trying to help. So there doesn't seem like there is a lot of grounds for leniency on behalf of the judge.
Blake Montgomery, The Guardian US's tech editor, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Today, I have the yarn of all yarns for you. I will soon reveal the thing that was taken to a wildlife hospital because someone thought it was a sick animal. If you haven't already as well, though, chuck us a like and a follow on your favourite podcast platform, because once you hear what I have to tell you, you will never want to miss an episode of Newsable. New Zealand's basketball leagues just got underway, and there are more B-ball delights coming up this weekend. So to bring us all up to speed, we're joined by Justin Nelson, the former general manager of the Sales NBL for Newsable Sport, proudly brought to you by Sky, your sport unrivaled. Justin, for those who aren't quite up to speed with the domestic B-ball league, can you tell us a bit about it?
Hello. Absolutely I can. About 41, 42 years of existence. I think it dates all the way back to 1982, the Sales NBL has definitely been a hallmark of New Zealand sport. We've seen lots of great players come through the ranks, including all the way to the NBA. Stephen Adams was once a very proud young man running around in the National League here in New Zealand, and it continues to go from strength to strength.
And the season has just kicked off. Last night, we saw something for the first time ever, and that was the men playing Rapid League. Justin, what is that?
First time ever anywhere in the world that a men's basketball game was played in Rapid League. It actually started last year here in New Zealand in the Toʻihi, the women's competition. And what it is, it's a 4x4 minute game that's played on the same court, same crowd, same television cameras, and importantly, many of the same players. In Rapid League, 4x4 minute game, the only players who can play are the 7 players who are coming off the bench in the following main game. So as a fan, as a viewer, you get to see every player play. Really exciting.
It is really exciting. And that's not the only change that's been made this season, I understand.
Yeah, there's a few. Certainly basketball, both NBL and Toʻihi, over the last few years has become well known for innovation. And in the Sales NBL this season, we're going to see a mid-season trade window, first of its kind for sport here in New Zealand, but effectively after round 7, there's a 66-hour window where teams can trade players from one team to another. And if any team trades a player in, they're rewarded with a bump in their salary cap. So it means they can actually spend more money on players if they trade a player in.
Very interesting indeed. As I said, the season has kicked off. What is happening this weekend, though? There's plenty more games. What ones should we be watching out for?
I'm looking forward to the Saints and the Tuatara on Sunday afternoon. It's always a great game down in Wellington. Massive crowds. They sell it out at TSB Bank Arena. There'll be 4,000 screaming fans. Good-looking Saints team this year. And amazingly, they are playing for their 13th championship. So for me, that's the pick of the games first up. And there's a Southern Stoush as well, the Otago Nuggets, going up against the Southland Sharks.
Definitely ones to watch. Hey, let's talk a bit more about the crowds. As you just mentioned, good crowds are expected this weekend because B-ball is getting more and more popular. I went to the New York Knicks v. the Wolves on New Year's Day in New York. That was absolutely insane. Are we getting, obviously our stadium sizes are different, but how big and how much support is there for the local basketball league here?
Yeah, I think there's a few factors, some great points that you raise. First and foremost, basketball in New Zealand as a consumption sport every week. And remember that consumption is playing, it's watching, it's gaming, it's wagering, it's fantasy, it's buying merchandise. For under 35s in New Zealand, basketball is the most consumed sport every week. So it's a very, very popular game. We've seen crowds increase year on year, especially post-COVID. And speaking of world firsts, last night, another one in the competition connecting to that young market. Last night's game was also broadcast live on TikTok around the world.
Oh, there you go. Fascinating stuff. Sky commentator Justin Nelson and former general manager of the Sales NBL, thank you for that, and thank you for joining us for Newsable Sport, proudly brought to you by Sky, your sport unrivaled. And you can watch every Sales NBL match this season live on Sky Sport and stream it as well on Sky Sport Now. Sky Open will also have live free-to-air coverage of the Wellington Saints v Auckland Tuatara match from 3 p.m. Sunday, and you can also stream next Wednesday's match between the Southland Sharks and Manawatu Jets live on Sky Sport's TikTok page. You have waited long enough to find out more about this funny thing that was taken to a wildlife hospital. It was a hat bobble, like the ball of fluff or pom-pom, if you will, that's sometimes on the end of a beanie? A bobble. The bobble was mistaken for a sick baby hedgehog, which, by the way, are called hoglets. Didn't know that. What a treat for us all to know that for the future. The hoglet that wasn't a hoglet, aka the bobble, was taken to the vet in a box lined with newspaper, and it had a little bowl of food with it as well, by a concerned member of the public who apparently had nursed the thing overnight and then got concerned when she realised it wasn't moving, so took it to the hospital. Needless to say, the vets were very quickly able to establish the bobble for what it was, which was a bobble and not a hoglet. This is such a great story, and please, if you do anything today, let it be Googling Bobble Hedgehog UK, and then you'll get to see pickies of the bobble in its box with its little bowl of wet food that this woman gave to it. Me and producer Philippa were trying to discuss, like, how did she not figure it out? But how do you not figure out when you're picking it up? Anyway, that is Newsable for today. I'm Imogen Wells. I hope you have a wonderful, safe and happy Easter weekend. And also, by the way, bar humbug to the NHS doctor in the UK that decided it would be okay to tell people not to eat all their eggs at once and then became public enemy number one. Rightly so. Eat what you want to eat and however you want to eat it this weekend. I'll be back with you on Tuesday morning.
This pod took time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.